Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and oh, if you don't believe that life can be an absolutely awesome experience, well, my guest today is going to share with you not only his personal story, but tools that you yourself as an individual can make useful in your life so you can make your world, your life, more of what you want it to be. I want to welcome Ron Chapman, who is calling in from New Mexico. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm delighted to be with you.
You're a man that has walked your own unique journey. The title of your book is What a Wonderful World, and it has this dynamic hummingbird on the front of it that is looking up at four words, seeing through new eyes. That's not an easy thing to do. I think of so many people today that are in Southern California. I just came back from there. They're losing their homes. I just got off the phone shortly before the show talking with someone whose family has lost everything. People go through challenges and traumas all the time. And you had your own special experience. Seeing through new eyes is not easy to do, Ron. Tell us your story and how you made a turnaround.
Well, thanks for asking that question. Indeed, sometimes all we really have, Donna, is our own stories and experiences. So mine was really, I guess, in some ways fairly simple. I was living the American dream, had a corporate career that was quite lucrative and promising, and about 10 years into that career, my wife abandoned me, and that, in my perspective, isn't what's supposed to happen in the American dream. And frankly, my life was a train wreck at that point. I was not emotionally prepared, not psychologically prepared. And during the process, discovered a combination of things about myself, the most important of which was that I'm an alcoholic. And the result was, the long story result was, that it changed my life. The short story, Donna, was that it was incredibly difficult. It rearranged everything in my life, including my career. Ended up going back to school. It opened untold doors that are still unopening today. And so slowly but surely, I'm a work in progress over what's been almost 22 years now. And it all came about because of what we would normally say was a horrible experience. But in looking back at it, I realized it really was, it changed me, Donna, for good. And you can't hardly argue with those kind of results.
I want my audience to know a little bit more about you. You currently are involved as a consultant in organization development. You specialize in strategic planning, facilitation, and personal development. You have won numerous awards as a speaker, storyteller. You're a public radio commentator. You do workshops. And you have worked with such organizations as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You've worked with HealthSouth Corporation, the World Health Organization, the American Cancer Society of New England, and a number of other businesses. You have been the winner of the 2001 National Federation of Press Women Award for Personal Commentary. You've received the Toastmasters International Highest Award of Distinguished Toastmaster. You have a social commentary that you give on KUNM-FM 89.9. And you also do straight-to-the-heart radio conversations. You're a man that obviously has a passion for what you do. And I was really impressed with the fact that the very first person who talks in your book is your daughter, Natalie.
Yeah.
How in the world did Natalie make it okay to talk about you in the book?
Well, that's probably the sweetest part about the book for those who haven't seen it yet. It's a collection of vignettes that kind of look at the world and ask some questions about what it is that's really there as contrasted to what we think we're seeing. And Natalie kind of opens it up in the spirit of the book by saying, you know, it turns out nothing was the way even I thought it was, even with my dad, stepdad. She's actually my stepdaughter, although I consider her and her sister, Brianne, my kids. despite the fact that I'm not married to their mom anymore. And she was actually, we had some interesting conversations as she worked her way through the material and consistently asked the question, where was I? As in, where was Natalie? Where was she? All these things were going on, and she just had no idea. And she and I have had a number of good conversations as a result about just how much we missed, Donna. The things that are going on often are misinterpreted. Our perception is such a limiter at times to what's really going on. And so her story is the story of seeing me and our relationship and everything else in a new light. And, in fact, the funny thing is some of the reviewers of the book have said that, in fact, they thought her comments on what was in the book were as probably as sweet as anything in the book, because it's such a, it's really a heartwarming story, how she experienced it and how it changed our lives. So she was tickled and, in fact, just called me just the other day and said she's got some materials, a manuscript ready for me to review for her now.
Oh, how wonderful. Now, one of the comments that Natalie made is, nothing is as it seems, and all things happen for a reason. This is the only certainty, and it is neither good nor bad. Now, for someone as young as she is to have that kind of wisdom, that is wonderful. She has already got a few steps up on life over many adults that I know. And I know she's an adult herself, but she is a younger adult. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that that was a wonderful way for you to begin your book. Now, as you said, each and every part of your book has a special story. And What a Wonderful World is right at the forefront. And you give a quote by Louis Armstrong, who's one of my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I see trees of green, red roses too. I'll watch them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And that song has been a favorite of people forever since it's come out. It's just a wonderful, wonderful melody. It's just absolutely great. And I thought it was a wonderful way to bring up the story about Brother Pete. Now, who's Brother Pete?
Well, he goes back about, almost probably 20 years ago, and he was a fellow that I came to know. He's actually a Christian brother, so he came through that particular end of the Christian faith, and he had his own, you know, his own knocks and difficulties in life. At the time I knew him, he would have been about 50, so that would make him almost 70 now, 20 years later. And almost without exception, no matter what was going on, and it really wasn't Pollyannish at all, his number one mantra about life had very simply to do with an attitude of gratitude. He insisted that by seeing the world through the eyes of gratitude, with gratefulness, completely changed our experience of it. And frankly, I've experimented a lot with that mantra, and he's right. There's something, you know, in a lot of the recovery programs, they talk a lot about how important it is at times to do gratitude lists, because we get so absorbed with the things that are going wrong. And you talked about the folks in San Diego, which at this moment is a pretty horrible place to be, considering what's going on. And yet what I can promise you, based on what Brother Pete taught, was that If those people, even in the midst of that chaos, were to sit down and pull out a piece of paper and begin to write the things that they have in their life to be grateful for, it would transform their experience of the event. Not that anything would change. They may still lose their home. They'd still have to grieve. It would still hurt. Hopefully no loss of life associated with their experience. But by shifting one's perception to what there is to be grateful of, it transforms the experience of even horrible events.
And yes, it does.
That's a miraculous thing.
Now, you have to tell the story about the Frisbee frog. I love that story.
Well,
I love the Frisbee frog. You got to tell about that, because Brother Pete had a lot of wisdom on that one.
Well, we were out walking, and essentially what happened was a frog hopped out on the road and got squashed by a car. And I was particularly full of myself that day, and I said, okay, so tell me how that could be a good thing. And the response was, well, Ron, if frogs didn't die, we'd be up to our asses in them. the whole philosophy there is seeing it in a different way. And in fact, I had an experience with a guy I was coaching who called me one day, and the water main in his front lawn had just blown out that day, and he was pretty distraught. It made a mess, disturbed his life, and yet we had that moment where I got to shift the focus with him and said, you know, if metal didn't rust, what kind of world would we be in? And he got it immediately. It's like, oh, well, it's an inconvenience and it's still a pain, but thank God metal corrodes, because if it didn't, we'd be surrounded with it. And again, that's a different way of shifting our perspective and seeing it in a different way, which can transform our experience of it and, in fact, transform our lives as a result.
I agree. And I think if you really want to get a good dose of reality, all you have to do is ask a young child about 6 or 7 years of age that there is a problem, and how would they solve it? And I think some of the remedies they come up with are absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I had a remarkable experience. I was talking one day at a conference with a lot of health professionals who worked in the school setting, and we were talking about, I had been doing some work in Zimbabwe and had heard a wonderful story about some great work that was being done there. And a young woman raised her hand and said, you know, I was in the Peace Corps, and I got to tell you this story about how we were there and we were doing all this stuff for them. And one day some of these kids, they came to me and they gave me pennies, just pennies, because that was all they had. And she said, well, what are you doing that? I mean, and her thoughts were, they're in poverty and so forth. And these kids, coming from a very destitute African setting, these kids said, well, we heard how little time the children in America get to spend with their parents, and we thought maybe this would help.
Isn't that something?
Because here we are looking at their condition through our perspective, flip it around, see it through their perspective, and all of a sudden it's a different reality.
It is a different reality, and I think too many times we make assumptions without taking the time maybe to sit quietly enough to ask the question, hi, what's going on in your world? And most of the time, we don't do that. We automatically assume that we understand everything that's in front of us. And I can tell you, from being involved with the public as much as I have over the years, it's a good thing I kept my mouth shut most of the time, because I would have been downright embarrassed by some of the assumptions I made.
Well, you know, one of the funny stories that is told about wise old elders, this is the grandfather people talk about, is how oftentimes the way they relate to all the things around them is they kind of nod their head, they smile, and they'll say things like, well, that's nice, honey.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that even in the moment, particularly because some of us haven't developed as much wisdom, if nothing else because we haven't been on Earth very long, that things aren't as they seem. And sometimes all we really need, in fact, I had one mentor in retrospect who the greatest gift he gave me over and over again was he would tell me, you're doing just fine, Ron. And I just needed to hear that over and over again. And it was tremendously helpful to have someone who wasn't as caught up in what I thought were these great dramas and tragedies and challenges in my life.
Yes, and just supporting you that way and not being judgmental in any manner, just accepting you for where you were in that moment.
Right. In fact, part of the thrust that this book has taken me toward is the whole idea of seeing, and this is a hard proposition for us, that no one woke up today, Donna, with anything less than their plan for the best they could do for that day.
That's a very good statement.
They may have been delusional. They might have mental illness. Their view of the world might be fairly tilted on end. But I learned that when that horrible experience of the World Trade Centers happened. And I was actually it was a funny setting. I was doing a leadership training and we were talking about the need to lead and so forth and how one leads and how one has to see people one is leading. And all of a sudden we were talking about the World Trade Center. And the point that came out of it was, you have to understand that those people did not wake up that morning thinking what they thought were evil thoughts. They woke up believing they were getting ready to express their highest good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to agree with how they saw it, and you don't have to say that therefore they should do what they want to do, but it's really helpful to understand that no one woke up today with anything less than their best plans for the day, and for most of us, we had some adventures along the way. But that will completely change our experience of other people is when we can really understand that no one set out to make a mistake today, and yet countless bits of tragedy happened.
That's true. You have, and of course we're so close to Halloween, I couldn't pass up your pumpkin tail. You've got to share that with my audience. It is so special, and it's all about a little boy and a pumpkin. Tell us the story.
Okay, I was up at a farm store north of Albuquerque, up along the valley of the Rio Grande, and it was one of those beautiful, beautiful October days, and I was just sitting and watching, as I seem more inclined to do of late, and I was just watching, and there's a little boy, and he's not particularly well behaved, I don't think, but he's really got his heart set on this huge pumpkin. And you can see, as I'm watching from across this dusty yard, you can see that his parents are trying to talk him out of it, and it's a difficult situation. The kid really wants this thing, and he throws a fit, and the caramel apple that's stuck on a popsicle stick flies off of it and goes quite a few feet and hits an older fellow in the arm. And he comes over it. It actually turns out, as the story unfolds, that this is one of the owners of this farm store, and he gets down on his knees, and he listens real carefully, and the parents are apologizing and all that sort of stuff. And before long, and I have no words to add to this story because I'm just watching from afar. But then the next thing that happens is these two young fellows come across to pick up this monstrous pumpkin. And they begin to carry it towards these people's vehicle, and the people are, you know, of course, protesting. The adults are protesting. The little boy is just delighted with this outcome. And the parents try to pay, and this older fellow doesn't accept their money, and he sends them on their way. And so the whole perspective of this, here's this little kid who will never forget Halloween because of this extraordinary experience, and his parents had a completely different experience of it. And of course, who knows what the farmer was thinking about the whole deal? But seeing them carting that giant pumpkin across the yard was just delightful, and the look on the little kid's face was just I can't imagine when he tells that story. That's been a number of years now, but when he tells that story another 20 years from now, I just imagine he's going to tell this story about how huge this pumpkin was, and indeed, when you look at how the emotional impact of this great story. It was a huge pumpkin, and it was an incredible gesture. I almost wish I had gone up, Don, and asked the farmer what he was thinking. Was he punishing the parents? Was he rewarding the boy's wish? Did he just need to get rid of a huge pumpkin? And I guess I'll never know. But it was a beautiful unfolding to watch.
I think I'd be interested in knowing what happened to the parents when they got 75 pounds of pumpkin home in the truck and they're saying, now what do we do?
Well, you can imagine that little boy. You can imagine that little boy was insistent on creating a huge jack-o'-lantern out of it.
Oh,
and
yes.
I just can't imagine. You can spin all kinds of possible outcomes, but when viewed from the eyes of, let's say, the eyes of the holy or the sacred, all you can do is look upon it and say, what a wonderful thing to have happen, and who knows how it turns out.
You brought up the elders, and you have quite an involvement with the Native American culture,
mm-hmm.
and your home is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you bring some very thoughtful questions to the forefront. Now, your book, What a Wonderful World, Seeing Through New Eyes, has within it, is an opportunity to join you in these story journeys and then to express questions, and we as individuals can answer those questions, and it brings a level of thoughtfulness to the forefront. Maybe we're so busy that just doing one of these at a time would enable us to sort of center and quiet ourselves and be more aware of where we are and not necessarily where we have to go to or what we would like to have happen, but just be more present with where you are. You make a wonderful statement about the indigenous people and how they had a very close tie with nature. They still do, in many instances. I don't know that it is in the same level, but that's not the issue. There is a strong empathy, I would say, with nature and with everything that goes on, and they believe that they're going to be provided for.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about a mentor of yours, Sam, how you mentioned to him how you'd like to sit on your back porch and sip iced tea, and he said, yeah, you'll come up with something to do in 5 minutes. That sounded like me. You know, it's like, okay, my husband says, don't you ever sit down.
Yeah.
It's just the difference in people. But you talk about dealing with fears. You talk about clarity. You talk about living with a sense of simple grace. Explain that.
Well, the basic idea of there's a couple themes there that I think are probably important, and not the least of which is the idea that the Koyukon people, who are actually a Western people, and Richard Nelson wrote a book called The Island Within that explores this, they were really clear that they didn't need to go in search of anything. They didn't need to go find something, because in fact the universe, the world, God, whatever your framework is, would and does provide if we'll just stop looking for, which is so countercultural to our norm, which is, you know, if you need enlightenment, you go to India. If you need a great, you know, vacation experience, you go to the Caribbean or wherever, or Europe. And we're very acquisitive. The idea that we need to go find it because it can't find us, and fundamentally that's kind of an agnosticism or a failure to believe in life. And so one of the stories in here is actually not a Native American story, but it's a story about my ex-wife's people up in northern New Mexico, and how there was an easiness that she recalled to just sitting, just waiting, just being available for life, rather than feeling like we have to go create life. And so one of the visuals that has carried me for a very long time is to truly feel what it would be like to just sit on the porch and drink iced tea. Now, what I have to say about that, as I have continued to learn about my own distractions and challenges, is what Sam said, which was that I could only sit for 5 minutes before I'd go off and, you know, run for mayor of the town, or mm-hmm. you know, do a landscaping project or redo the bathroom or something. What I've discovered about myself is that, and I don't think I'm unique in this, what I've discovered is on some level I'm an activity junkie. Not much in my culture, and our culture, I should say, encourages us to be quiet, thoughtful, available for life. Mostly we're taught to get busy because there's things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say about that may be useful for anybody who's listening is it's been real helpful for me to look at the reasons that I'm hooked on my activities, why it is that I can't just sit quietly and wait for life to happen. And frankly, what I've learned is I'm afraid. I have some kind of an existential angst that if I don't go out there and do something, that life can't and won't find me, that it won't be provided. And so the great secret to that has been learning to sit with that, just be with that, which has sometimes been very, very difficult. It can make me quite agitated. But to sit and wait and see what life will provide, and I'll close that rather long-winded response to your question, Donna, by saying the most interesting thing about that as an experiment for those who want to try it is it's surprising what life will bring to your doorstep. Really remarkable. It's graceful to see what shows up on your doorstep if you'll stop chasing things. But the only way you'll find out is by sitting still long enough, and that's a hard proposition for me and a lot of people I know.
Oh, I would have to concur with that myself. That's something that I have to be really okay with that. It's like, it's all right, I don't have to do a thing. It's not necessary to do something. And it is. It takes deliberate effort. You have a statement in your book, life is good, paradise perhaps, but not all is perfect even in Eden. There is trudging to be done, tears to be wept, and laughter to be found. And I'll combine with that, as it turns out, it's normal to be irrational, so I feel better already. I loved that one. Loved being irrational. I went, yes, that's a good thing. I like that. It gives people something to talk about, but it can make you also feel good. If you decide one day you're going to make 14 pumpkin pies out of that 75-pound pumpkin, do it.
Right.
Go ahead and do it. It's okay. And you really don't have to give a hoot about what the world thinks, because the world is so busy being the world, it really doesn't care.
Yeah, that reminds me actually of one of my mentors said one time, Ron, you know, you'll stop worrying about what the world is thinking about you when you realize that mostly it's not thinking about you. That we're caught up in these many things, and there is a I've actually been doing a fair amount of work with this idea of late in workshops and a little bit of the coaching work I do, with coming to understand how gloriously quirky we are. You know, this idea, and what I had to break through in terms of my own perception, what I didn't know I was doing was, I didn't know that what I was seeing the world thinking that I was the norm, right? That everybody else was a deviation from me who represented the norm, the average, the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that they were all looking at me the same way. They thought they were the norm and I was the aberration. And then as I began to look and realize what's going on, and if you can change your perception of this by beginning to consider it a different way, what you begin to find out is that there are these remarkably, remarkably entertaining, interesting people around us who, if we can stop the judgment and just look at how they are and who they are and what they're doing, at a minimum, it's going to be entertaining. And,
yes.
And at best, we're going to actually find out that we love those people, that they're lovably quirky, and in fact, the great insight is then realizing that we're as lovably quirky as the rest of them. And it changes our experience of it. It takes us out of judgment of others and allows us to start seeing them as just other human beings making a strange navigation through a life that's, you know, completely unpredictable. And it's a neat thing to finally be able to see a lot more people as just remarkably quirky.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. I mean, how dull and uninteresting our lives would be if we didn't have some of this to talk about. I think it's marvelous. I love it when I see people looking like something from outer space. I go, woo, okay, I got something to talk about today. It's really wonderful. Life has so many variables in it.
Yes.
And that's something that we need to be able to enjoy. And, Ron, your book, What a Wonderful World, Seeing Through New Eyes, gives so many perspectives, and of course you're the consummate storyteller, and being a fellow storyteller, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's a wonderful way to reach the minds and the hearts of people, and more than that, you give it such a nice personal touch as well. So I think that that's very special. Now, what is your website that people can go to and learn more about what you do?
MagneticNorthLLC.com. Of course, you got to put a www in front of it. And I guess I should briefly say that the Magnetic North is a principle I work with, which presumes that guidance is always available 24/7 to all of us.
Repeat that website one more time.
I'm sorry?
Repeat your website one more time.
MagneticNorthLLC.com.
MagneticNorthLLC.com. Ron, do you have a thought that you would like to leave with my audience before we close out our conversation today?
Yes, ma'am, I would. Take this forward with you, anybody who's listening. Consider the possibility that what is in front of you is glorious beyond your imagination, and that the only impediment is, in fact, how we're seeing it. That's a question that'll change your life.
That is a wonderful statement. My guest today, Ron Chapman, his fabulous book, What a Wonderful World, Seeing Through New Eyes. This beautiful, beautiful, bright red hummingbird is on the cover, and it is something that you can, especially now that it's autumn, things are slowing down in nature. It's a wonderful opportunity just to savor the beauty of what's around you. And this is a book you can sit with and have your pen or pencil in hand, and you can write in it, and you can make it your own personal experience. Ron's done a wonderful job. What a Wonderful World, Seeing Through New Eyes. MagneticNorthLLC.com is his website, MagneticNorthLLC.com. Thank you, Ron, for being with me. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, a lot of good things to share with you. Take care. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Ron, thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you. My pleasure.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted to be back in the home office. I can't tell you how absolutely gorgeous it is up here in the Pacific Northwest. And my most sincere condolences for those people who, and maybe that's not the right word, but it's the one that comes into my mind for those people in Southern California. We were down in Temecula. We drove through the area where the fires, after we passed through, just have been devastating. I got a call just before I went on air from someone that is a long-term client of mine, and his family's home was totally destroyed. It's just a horrible experience. But I think, like what Ron said, there are those blessings that can come out of the worst of circumstances, but it's how we view things. But it is so difficult. And for all of you who have family and friends in California, give them as much support as you can. This is a challenge. We are known in California for having these fires. They do come up, but there were, at last, my last count of information that was passed along to me, over 11 that are burning in various areas of California. So my heartfelt wishes for good things to happen to these people and that everything be resolved as quickly as possible is really very, 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 very much sincere. It's not fun. It's devastating. That's the right word. It is totally devastating to go through these experiences, and I have, again, talked to people that have lost everything. So I just know that we're going to be able to be supportive of them in the right way, in the best way that we can, because it is something that is necessary. But I had also, on this trip to California, while those fires were raging, the opportunity to interact with some wonderful, wonderful people. And I want to thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I'm going to be on my way to New York City day after tomorrow. So I will be letting you know about the guests we're going to have on this week. My guest, Judy Strong, we had to reschedule her. She's going to be coming up next month. But tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Wurzbacher. This is the most wonderful woman. She is a physician. She has written a book that I think should be a must-read for every medical student on the planet. And it's called Your Doctor Said What? Well, she is a woman with not only a good sense of humor, but she's also been the patient. Not only is she a doctor, she's also played the role of patient on more than one occasion in her life. So she comes from both sides of the coin. She's just delightful. On Thursday, I will be flying, and like I said, I cannot figure out yet how to do an air from the middle of 40,000 feet up. And we are going to be playing a Best of Donna on Thursday. But then from the Big Apple, we're going to be talking with Susan and Tom Kuzmarski. We're going to be talking about apples are square. And I said that was so appropriate because I'm going to be in the Big Apple. And, of course, New York is just magical. And then after that, in the following week, we're going to be talking about spooks. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Seattle ghosts and a lot of other things. And then Using Your Stress to Fuel Your Success, Pete Siegel is going to be my guest next week. And then we're going to be talking about the Halloween Fairy on All Hallows' Eve. Yes, we're going to have a lot of fun next week, so I look forward to having you join me for each of these programs. And remember always, the shows are going to be archived for you. And I understand we have got some new technology that's being implemented, and if you haven't been able to get the most recent shows, they will be up and running very quickly because they're implementing state-of-the-art technology at bbsradio.com so that you will have the shows online to be able to listen to a lot more quickly than they've done in the past. So all of these good things are evolving for you. Plus, we have open phone lines of 877-876-5227 in the USA. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And we're going to go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Green Valley in Arizona. My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Is it cooling down in Green Valley, or is it still staying warm?
It's cooling down.
Good. That's a good thing.
It's
so hot in Arizona, sometimes you could fry an egg on the top of your car.
And Green Valley's so pretty.
Oh, I've never been in Green Valley. I've been in some areas of Arizona, but not in Green Valley. All right, dear, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that is coming into my mind is steady as you go. Steady as you go. You've got a plan. You have an agenda. You want to be able to put it into place and to get it done properly. So just take one step at a time, and if necessary, just work with one day at a time. It is going to work out very, very well if you do. If you try to push and shove, then you're going to find yourself getting flustered because you've got too many things going on, and you're not going to be as efficient at taking care of them. So it's steady as you go, steady as you go, one step at a time. One day at a time, just be consistent. Just be very, very consistent, and you are going to be pleased. There is also something here about your teeth, and I'm looking at this picture in my mind, and I think you have a habit when you're under a lot of stress of clenching your teeth, and I'm getting a discomfort in the front part of the mouth running down underneath the jaw and then going up into my ear. So I think that if you notice any kind of discomfort in your right ear, ask yourself if you are really absorbing a lot of tension in the jaw area. If so, just drop the lower part of your jaw. Just let it relax. And I think you'll find a lot of the discomfort goes away. My goodness, you've got a lot going on. I mean, it just seems like you think you're going to have a little bit of quiet time, and it's just like life comes along and says, okay, we got a new shipment of circumstances for you here. Who wants to take the order? And I'm seeing you saying, oh, no. That wasn't supposed to happen for another 6 weeks. So don't be surprised if things start speeding up for you quite quickly. Remember always, though, to take a deep breath and have your cup of tea and a cookie occasionally, and I think you'll get through it just beautifully. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, I wanted to know if you picked up me changing jobs, taking on a new position within the next couple of months, October, November.
Well, let me ask you this, Kathy. What do you want? What are you looking for?
I'm waiting to hear back from a company on when they're going to sign me on.
All right, let me rephrase the question to you, hon. The reason I'm asking you these questions is because changing a job isn't that big a deal right now. What I'm wanting, I guess, to get from you is what is it that you would like to see yourself involved with or associated with? Because you're in this cycle of activity that if you have something that you're focusing on and you keep it in front of you and you don't try to push it, you're going to get what you want. Am I making sense to you?
Yes. Yes.
Now, are you currently working?
Yes. Yes, I sure am.
Good. Well, I would just say don't get anxious about this. If you have an opportunity that could very easily open up for you, just say this is wonderful, but also have an attitude, if this one doesn't work out, where else can I look? Where else can I go? Don't put yourself into a box. Make it okay to be right where you are right now.
Okay. Actually, I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. I know that this is something that has been talked about, so I was just waiting to hear back from them.
Well, again, I want to pull you back into where it is you would like to grow into. And I'm using different words. But that is important for you to be aware of that, that you're comfortable with where you are. That's wonderful. Because, again, I wasn't seeing any big urgency here. There wasn't a big need for you to go and find a job right now. But if you're wanting to grow and expand your talents, then look at those venues that will give you that opportunity. Whether it's this particular company that may have an opportunity for you or another one, it doesn't make any difference. It's what is it that you want that's going to give you exactly what you feel is going to best benefit you. And it's going to make you feel with joy the opportunity of being able to get up and about and go about the daily business of working and living. I want to thank you for your call, Kathy. You have a fabulous day.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. I can't tell you how wonderful it is when you do have a time. Ron Chapman made some very good points, but I really look at how important it is sometimes just to be still long enough to appreciate right where you are. When I was out walking my Scotties, Victor and Kenzie, there was a pileated woodpecker that was climbing up a tree. And I stopped both of the dogs. Of course, they were quite happy with that because I'm sort of a speed walker and they prefer to wander around and check everything out. And you're probably hearing a little bit of Victor's commotion in the background. But I watched this incredible bird walking up a tree. And I was watching this bird and I said, isn't that amazing? Perfect balance. Checking things out as it goes around because it's looking for food. Here is something in nature that we only see just at little moments here and there because they're constantly migrating. They migrate through in our backyards, and we get as many as 4 different species in our backyard. It's a wonderful experience. And when you can take the time to observe that, wow, it's something that's like a gift. It's like nature has given you a wonderful gift to observe. You know, they talk about that space elevator, and I thought, I wonder if somebody ever watched a pileated woodpecker going up a tree, because that space elevator they talk about is supposed to take us up into outer space and enable us to shoot off for areas unknown. Be fascinating to see what happens with that as the years go on. But just watch nature. So many wonderful inventions. And so many gifts come to you because of that, when you just take the time. And this is a perfect time of the year to do it. I know so many of you have enjoyed Oktoberfest this October, and here we are getting close to Halloween. There's just so many wonderful things that go on. And there's smells, too. When you're out walking around, just take the time to smell the change of the earth as she is getting ready for this wonderful, wonderful shift. This is Donna Seaboat, open telephone line 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. And before we go to our next caller, well, actually, we're going to go into a break. I want to read this to you by Louisa McQuillan. Swirl autumn leaves, pirouette the lane, dance your ways into the woods time and time again. Sweet little poem. I like that. Louisa did a nice job. Oh, and check out the colors. Ooh, they're just terrific. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and whoever is on the line, stay with me. We'll be right with you after this message. And when we come back, phone lines again are open, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756 for Canadians. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we are going to go to our first caller, our next caller. And for those of you who are listening, if you're a first-time listener to the show, I want to welcome you to our listening family and also tell you that all you have to do is listen to what we do, and you can do the same thing. I'm here to answer your questions for you. Welcome to the show, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Lyle from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Lyle. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. And how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm absolutely doing fabulous. I couldn't be better if I tried. It is just absolutely a beautiful day here in the Pacific Northwest, and I'll tell you something. Nature is phenomenal to observe, and life is good.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Okay, Lyle, let's get down to business with you. First of all, I want you to finish the correspondence you have started. There is, I don't know if it's a resume, a letter of introduction, there is something here where you are needing to get this written material together so that you can make your presentation to someone. And I think that this is very, very important. Trust yourself on what it is you want to do in the way of a presentation. I think you can do a very efficient and a very effective job. And by saying that, I know that you may need to get someone to look at it, to get a second opinion, but go with your, what I call the gut feeling, the intuitive feeling. And just know that you are putting the best image of yourself forward, and then allow that you'll follow up after you send this material out to get feedback from the person or persons that you're wanting to have informed about your skills, your abilities, and what you're wanting to do. I think you're a man that has a wonderful imagination. I'd love to see you do more writing. I would say if you wanted to get into science fiction or mystery writing, whatever would be your genre, you need to start it. And if you wanted to join a writer's club, that's a great thing to do too. But remember, you want to become familiar with your style, how it is you like to communicate with people, how you want to use your words. All of this can be pretty significant and pretty impressive. So I think you do have, I would say at this point, the potential of a part-time career with writing. And this should work out very, very nicely for you. There is something here about a personal relationship where you're going to have some challenges. And I think you need to be able to look at this association. I do not know at this moment who the individual is. They have a tendency to be quite critical. And you must ask yourself why it is that you allow this person to make their critical remarks without thoughtfully thinking about what they're saying and then telling them exactly how you feel about it. And you don't have to be belligerent. You don't have to be rude. You can just say, I'm sorry, but I'm not even sorry, really. I don't agree with your expression. You're entitled to your opinion. But may I ask you what you're basing this opinion on? What is it that makes you make these statements? The person is going to be quite surprised. Because then they'll try to make up something, and all you need to do is quietly say, that's a very interesting point, but what's your fact? Where are you coming from with this? Because I didn't do X, Y, Z, and I didn't do A, B, C. So why do you make these assumptions? And it's going to catch them. And they're going to realize that they have to think before they speak, but it's going to happen to you more than once with this particular individual. And they may get very angry with you, and you need to make that okay if they get angry. And just say, well, you know, there's something wrong here. You're angry, and I haven't done anything to make you angry. What are you really angry about? And what you're really going to find out is that this person is afraid. This person down deep is afraid that you're no longer going to be in their life. And it is their job, not your job, but it's their job to develop their own level of self-esteem, and they've not been doing a very good job of that. And so apparently they've been trying to have you be the person that must make their happiness for whatever reason. So I don't know if this is a teenager, a spouse, a member of the family, a friend. I have no idea. But people do things like that. And all you need to do is say, this isn't my responsibility. I'm not the person that's making these choices. You are. So if you're going to get angry, you better get angry at yourself, because I'm not telling you what to do. And I think this is going to turn things around for you. What would you like to ask, Lyle?
Wow. You hit on a couple of things. To begin from the latter, it is my wife. With the writing thing, I have thought about it, started it out, but stopped. And I was thinking of it was still rattling around in my brain. And the first one, the correspondence, I've been actually, it's with a court case. The correspondence, I got a item in the mail, I ordered it, that basically this lawyer has put it in plain English on how to present your case in court. And I have to fill out basically, I got this course so that I could fill it out and try to take it to court and show that I don't owe what they're trying to say I owe.
Mm-hmm.
So you hit on a lot. I was just going to ask, will I be successful? Do you get the feeling if I'll be successful or not with that?
All right. If you're referring to the court case, the answer is yes, I think you will be successful. Remember, when you're in a court of law, it is very important not to be emotional.
Right.
And when you're dealing with the financial issues, you want to be very clear, no assumptions, and that clarity and thoroughness will cut your time in court down next to nothing.
Yes, and like I said, when you talked about the correspondence, I knew exactly what you were talking about. That's basically what he says. He says, put things in plain English, use simple sentences, and, you know, anything that you refer to, make sure you have a copy of it so that the judge has it right there at hand. And so you were right on three of them. There was one question I had. I was thinking about writing about the paranormal and metaphysical. I think I need to do more studying with it, and I was going to try to allocate some time each evening towards that.
Well, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. It's a good thing for you to do. I know we're almost out of time here, so I'm going to have to go quickly. Take care of the other things and do this other as a hobby.
Yes.
Lyle, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, time has gone by so quickly. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have Dr. Wurzbacher on. She is a doll. You're going to really love her. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't turn over your life to anybody. You're the one that's in charge of how you think, how you feel, and what you want to be. Believe in yourself. I believe in you. Do the same. Give yourself that gift. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.